So, as I said, we won't be meeting next week. We won't be here. And so, but if the Lord wills and the hurricanes don't rise, we'll be back the following week and we'll be able to do business. But our lesson for the morning is blessings and curses. Our text is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 3 through 13. And in those verses, the Bible reads as follows. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the fill and dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall not, and you shall lie down. And none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson in this walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, over the last few weeks, we have looked at the specifics of some of the moral and ceremonial laws that God gave the Israelites in the book of Leviticus. As we conclude our teaching on this book, I would like to generally outline the laws that God gave Israel in this book. In Leviticus 18, verses 4 through 18, the outline is that relatives were not to have sex with one another. Verse 20 says adultery was prohibited. Verse 21, idolatry was prohibited. Verse 22, homosexuality was prohibited. Verse 23, bestiality was prohibited. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1 and 2, Israelites were to be holy to the Lord, meaning that they were to live according to God's laws. Verse 3, Israelites were to keep the Sabbath. Verse 4, Israelites were not to practice idolatry. Verses 9 and 10, Israelites were allowed to the poor to glean their fields, meaning during the harvest, the Israelites were to leave some of the produce for the poor to pick up. Verse 11, Israelites were not to steal, deal falsely, or lie. Verse 12, Israelites were not to swear falsely in God's name. Verse 13, Israelites were not to cheat, rob, or withhold wages of employees. Verse 14, Israelites were not to curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, meaning that the Israelites were not to misuse those less fortunate than themselves. Verse 15, Israelites were to judge righteously without preference for either the poor or the rich. Verse 24, the Israelites were not to gossip or lie on their neighbors. Verse 17, Israelites were not to take vengeance on their neighbors. Verse 28, Israelites were not to cut their flesh ornamentally or tattoo themselves. 29, Israelites were not to make their daughters prostitute themselves. 30, Israelites were to keep the Sabbath and revere the sanctuary. 31, Israelites were not to hire a medium to communicate with the dead. 32, Israelites were to respect their elders. And 33 and 34, Israelites were not to mistreat strangers. And 35, Israelites were to keep honest scales, meaning that they were to do business honestly and not cheat their customers. In Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 8, Israelites were not to worship idol gods or hire mediums to communicate with the dead. Verse 9, Israelites who cursed their parents were to be executed. Verses 10 through 24 say that Israelites who were sexually immoral were to be executed. In verses 25 and 26, Israelites were not to eat that which was ceremonially unclean. Verse 27, mediums, that meaning those who claim to communicate with the dead, were to be executed. Now, Leviticus 21 and 22 gives laws that pertain to Israelites' priests. And Israelite priests were men who were between 20 and 50 years of age that were direct descendants, meaning sons, grandsons, and etc., of Aaron, who was Moses' brother. So in Leviticus 21 and 22, verses 1 through 6, an Israelite priest was not to come in contact with a corpse unless it was one of a near relative. Verse 7, an Israelite priest was not to marry a divorced or defiled woman. Verse 9, the daughter of an Israelite priest was to remain sexually pure until marriage. Verse 10 through 12, the high priest of Israel was not to come in contact with any corpse, even that of a near relative. And a young man in the line of Aaron who was eligible to become the high priest must marry a virgin. Verses 16 through 22, verse 9, no young man in the line of Aaron with a physical defect could serve as priest, although he could eat the sacred offerings that the priest ate. And in 22, verse 17 through 33, talks about all the sacrifices offered to the Lord must be without blemish. Now, Leviticus 23 specified the annual days or feasts that the Lord ordained that the Israelites were to celebrate. 23 and 3 talks about the Sabbath, which commemorated creation. Verses 4 through 8 talk about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which commemorated the liberation of Israel from slavery in Egypt by the death of the firstborn of Egypt. Verses 9 through 14 talk about the Feast of First Fruits, which commemorated the beginning of the harvest. And then 15 through 22 was the Feast of Weeks, which commemorated the end of the harvest. The seventh month of the year was the Sabbath month, in which three additional feasts were celebrated. Verses 23 to 25 discuss the Feast of Trumpets, which is a one-day feast commemorating the beginning of the Sabbath month. Verses 26 to 32 talk about the Day of Atonement, which is the day on which the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to offer the sacrifice of atonement for the people. And then 33 through 34 talk about the Feast of Booths, which was a seven-day feast commemorating the Exodus journey in which the Israelites were to live in booths or tents as they did during the Exodus. Now, Leviticus 24 verses 1 through 9 specifies the care that the tabernacle is to receive. 1 through 4 talks about the care of the tabernacle lamps. 5 through 9 talks about the bread of the tabernacle. And Leviticus chapter 24, verse 10 through 13 codifies the death penalty for blasphemy and gives the example of an execution. In Leviticus 25, the first seven verses talk about growing season. Israel were only to grow crops on their land for 6 years and then let the land lie fallow, meaning that they were not to plant crops on it during the seventh year, which was a Sabbath of rest for the land. The food that grew naturally on the land during the seventh year was not to be harvested, but could be eaten by any person or animal that passed by the field. verses 23 through 28, after a period of seven Sabbath years, which would total 49 years, the 50th year was declared the year of Jubilee, when the possession of all land that the Israelites sold to one another automatically went back to the original owner, and all the Israelites that sold themselves into slavery were free. Verses 29 through 23, houses in walled cities were not to be redeemed in the Jubilee, except for the houses in the cities of the Levites. So a Levite that sold his house could redeem it at any time, and if he did not redeem the house, possession of the house automatically reverted back to him during the year of Jubilee. And 35 through 38 says Israelites were not to charge one another interest on loans. 39 through 55, if an Israelite became poor, he could sell himself as a slave, but he was not to be enslaved with rigor or strenuously as the Canaanites could be. Canaanite slaves were considered possessions, meaning that they were slaves for life and could be willed from one generation to another. But Israelite slaves could be redeemed by their families at any time and were released from slavery during the year of Jubilee. In Leviticus 26, Israelites were not to make or worship idols. Verse 1 and verse 2 says that Israelites were to keep the Sabbath. And that's a synopsis of the laws of that God gave the Israelites in the book of Leviticus. Now, in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3 through 6, which is the beginning of our text for today, God promised to bless Israel for their obedience to the commandments that we have chronicled in the first part of this lesson. The Bible says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, the land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. So now God wanted to make it clear to Israel that their agricultural success depended upon the favorable environmental conditions that he would give them because of their adherence to his laws. Leviticus 26:5 describes the fruitfulness that God planned to bestow on Israel, in that they were to have such an abundance of grain and grapes that they would need all of the time between the ripening of the grain and the ripening of the grapes to process the grain, and then need all of the time from the ripening of the grapes to the time of planting once again to process the grapes. In other words, they would always have work sowing and reaping, and of course, the more abundant the harvest, the richer they would be. God also promised the Israelites that adherence to his commandments would make them successful in warfare against their enemies. Leviticus 26, 7 through 9 tells us, you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. Success in warfare is largely, according to the Bible, a function of having the power of God on your side. You may remember the religious fervor that broke out in our nation after the September 11, 2001 World Trade Center attack. Professional baseball teams began an interesting ritual when the major leagues resumed play the week after the attack. During the time that the teams changed position on the field in the seventh inning, all major league teams had a professional singer sing God Bless America, and the crowd stood and participated. And if you decide to attend a major league baseball game this year, when the season begins in April, you will find that God Bless America will still be the seventh inning song 5 years after the September 11th attack. When we send men overseas for warfare, military rituals of all branches of the service invoke the name of God for protection. There was a saying among military chaplains during World War I and World War II that there are no atheists in foxholes, meaning that men under fire call on the Lord for protection from death, even if they have never called on him before. Now, God also promises abundant sustenance for the Israelites if they maintain their allegiance to him. Leviticus 26:10-13 says, "You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright." So the harvest of the Israelites will be so abundant that they will have to clear the produce of one year out of their barns so that they can store the produce of the next year. In other words, the Israelites will have so much that they will not be able to use it all up from one year to the next. And when your income exceeds your needs, you can save and become rich. This is the promise that God has for Israel, and the promises for obedience in Leviticus and Deuteronomy are the basis of the prosperity ministries that we have today. God, however, does not make these promises unconditionally, but the promises are based upon obedience to God. By contrast, Leviticus 26:14-17 tells us, "But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you." Now, we discussed the ordinance of God in the first part of this sermon, and here we see why God gives his laws. He wants us to obey, and he wants us to agree with his teaching as well. If we decide not to agree with God, to despise what he tells us to do, and abhor that which he describes as correct and incorrect behavior, to disobey his teaching and reject the covenant that he is offering to make with us, we can expect God to react negatively to our rejection. Understand the thinking of God, who considers himself our Heavenly Father. A father is responsible for the life and training of his son. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1-3 tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." But Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18-21 taught the Israelites, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, would not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Now, can you imagine how much better the deportment of young men would be if we actually followed the word of God? How many executions do you think it would take to convince young men to practice good deportment in schools? I can remember my days back as a child in Chicago. My parents moved us from an upstairs apartment on 69th Street with no place to play outside except a park two city blocks away, to which we were too young to walk, to a new house in a new subdivision with a park across the street, so we would have a place to play. But two doors down from us was the place where the bad boys lived. These fellows had the nerve to curse their parents in public. And this was in the 50s. Now, one day when we were playing baseball in the park, I heard one of them curse their mother when she came to get them. Of course, being young and dumb, I thought that that was about the coolest thing I had ever seen. So when Mom and Dad were not at home, I began working on my swear word collection so that I would be able to curse them properly. Unfortunately, I failed to take several things into account. Number one, the houses in Chicago are very close together. Number two, my neighbors would be able to hear me. And number three, they would tell my parents. One day, Dad came home, talked to the neighbors, and then came to see me. He did not exactly stone me to death with stones, but suffice it to say that I ate my dinner standing up that night, and in the future, I looked both ways before I practiced any more swearing, just in case there was someone in earshot that might know me or my father. It is unintelligent to disobey once you know what the penalty for disobedience will be. Unfortunately for Israel, they were to some degree skeptical that God would actually carry out the punishment that he promised. And since God's perspective is so much longer than ours, some rebellious generations may have escaped national punishment, but their disobedience eventually brought punishment upon the nation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 13 warns us, "Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure mind by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So Peter admonishes us to remember the great flood through which only Noah and his family survived as a paradigm for what is going to happen at the coming of the Lord. Noah began warning people about the impending flood, and although the people who died in the flood listened to Noah for 120 years, they were surprised when the flood actually came. God allowed the nation of Israel to walk in various stages of rebellion against him for 1,500 years, after which the Assyrians and the Babylonians deported Israel and destroyed the nation. When Jesus Christ came, the proud nation of Israel that was promised the blessings of which we read earlier was, as a nation, a slave of the Roman Empire. The United States of America is known as the only superpower in the world today, even as some in our legislatures and judiciaries are lobbying to take the words "under God" out of our Pledge of Allegiance and remove Christian religious expression from the public square. But just as God told Israel to reverence his law, it is time for those of us who believe in God and his son to stand up for Jesus Christ, proclaim his name, live by his ordinances, and deny authority to those who would lead us to ignore the commandments in his word and profane his name. God has the power, which he will ultimately use to reward or punish, and it would behoove us to align ourselves with him and his objective word, since we do not exactly know his schedule. We will be blessed should we choose to do so. Psalm 33, verse 10 through 12 tells us, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people to no effect. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance." And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the lesson that you have given us, for the list of your laws and your statutes, and then for the blessings and the curses that you have that you laid on the nation of Israel. And we ask you this morning, Lord, that you would help us to heed your word. Help us to understand that your judgment has only been delayed by your long suffering with us, giving us a chance to repent of those things that we have done that are disobedient to you. And help us, Lord, to have repentant hearts. And we ask you that you'd help the leaders of our nation to have the same type of repentant hearts. Give those who are trying to take your name out of our public institutions, give them pause in their thinking that they might recognize and realize that there actually is a reality in serving the true and the living God. And we ask you that you would be king in all the households represented here today. Help us, Lord, as we go down from this place to put the worship of your name foremost in our hearts and with our families. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen, and thank God. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have brought us out this morning to your house. You've given us a word from your Old Testament and given us a New Testament application as well, that we might be able to look at your laws and at your word, and that we might decide to conform our lives to that which you would have us to do. Help us, Lord, to understand the meaning of the word obedient, and help us to be obedient because we know that you know more about what's going on than we do, and that the wisdom, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. So we just ask you, Lord, that you would bless us to be able to bend our will to your way, that your kingdom might come and that your will might be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Now we're praying, Lord, for those whose Paul's asked us to pray for Rick and Carlos and Courtney, for Brian and Nikki, and we ask you to continue to bless Sean's mother as she recovers. Give all those young people the mind somewhere as they go through their travels to align themselves with you and to follow the instruction that you give them for life. Now we pray also for Sister Allen and her family. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless her mother and her father, who are in physical discomfort and ill health this morning. And we ask you to go through their situations and their circumstances, that you would prop them up on every leaning side, that you would heal their wounded body, that you would restore them to health with the glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We pray for her children, for their minds and for their thinking processes, that they might be able to get on one accord with you. We pray for those others that she has asked us to pray for on the list, and also for the store as well, that it would continue, or that it would continue to be there, and that it would increase in prosperity in doing business, that more might come and buy those little frilly dresses and those beautiful suits for their young fellows. Praying for the McClures this morning, we ask you that you bless Janelle and JJ and help JJ's shoulder to continue to heal, and that you would keep Janelle focused as she goes through her collegiate experience in the state of Missouri. Keep her safe from all hurt, harm, and danger down there, and let those whom she come in contact with down there have only her best interest at heart. And we pray for the parents, and we ask you that you would give them a steadfast determination to raise their children in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they do not depart from it. Praying for Brother Lee and for his family, those whom he's asked us to pray for, his son far away in Pennsylvania. We ask you, Lord, that you would give that very, very intelligent young man that which he needs in order to make all of his academic commitments, and that you would give him also a mind that he might be able to deport himself well among those whom he is among, that he might be a beacon to them, that they might look at his behavior and recognize that there is a reality in serving you. Now, Lord, we're also praying for Sister Teddy, who's going into heart surgery. And we ask you, Lord, that you would be in her sick room, that you'd be a doctor in there, the doctor that's never lost a patient, that she might be able to return back to her job as teaching music. And we just ask you, Lord, we thank you for their son, Cedric, and his musical ability, and help him, Lord, to continue with that ability to, and help him to learn some things that will praise your name as well. And Lord, we're praying for Brother and Sister Winston, and we ask you that you bless them, Sister Lynn as well. Give her that which she needs for the healing of her body. And we just thank you that Sister Winston is here with us today. We just ask you that you give her traveling mercies as she goes to and fro. Keep her safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Praying for Brother Smith and Sister Carr, for those whom my wife is asking us to pray for Brother Rodriguez and his family. Brother Tyson, we thank you, Lord, that his work is going well, and we ask you that you continue to bless him as he travels up and down the dangerous highway. We're praying for Paul, and we ask you, Lord, as we always pray for him, that you would keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. Give him those good solutions for the problems with which he is faced, those good technical solutions, that his technical skill might increase, that his technical reputation might increase, and that those around him might recognize him as a resource to go to when they need help. Praying for Mother Z, Lord, as well, that you would bless her as she goes in for surgery, that you would give her freedom from the pain in her hands. And we just ask you to bless the doctor, guide and direct all of his efforts, that he might be able to bring her out. My praying for Mother LaBrenia Bursa, Sister Johnny Mae Wells as well. Praying for Brother George and Sister Hudson, we ask you that you would help her wherever she might happen to be as well this morning. And praying for Dad, Lord, we thank you that he's doing well, and we ask you to continue to keep things down in Chicago, keep him hale and healthy and hearty. Give him those with whom he is working there at the church. Let them be refreshing to him. Praying for Marvin on the East Coast as he administers at that college out there. We ask you that his students would learn from his teaching, and that the faculty members whom he is over would be able to work well with his administration. Praying for Aunt Naomi, ask you to bless her as well. For the Perkins family and all that they've asked us to pray for, we ask you to continue to bless them. And for Brother Jay and Sister Tisa Northern and their children, we ask you that you would bless that young family. We thank you that their household, and that they have reaped the benefit of that. And we ask you to continue to go with them and stand by them as they have moved from New Orleans to Houston. And we thank you for that. Praying for Brother and Sister Fuller, Lord, we ask you that you would continue to bless Shenora's, as it's been there for 25 years. We ask you that you would allow that business to grow and prosper, that those in the community who are supporting that business would become more numerous, and that they would be able to do all the things that they want to do in the business sense. We ask you that you'd also help Sister Fuller as she reaches out to the young people in the neighborhood that need help academically, and we ask you, Lord, that you would give us a part in that, they might be able to provide some resources for her and for Sister Graham, who's working with her as she brings this tutorial program to fruition. We'll pray for the Beards, Brother Paul Cross and Brother Carlos Young as well. Also praying for the Webbs. We ask you that you would bless them wherever they happen to be this morning, and that you would go with them and stand by them in their trials and tribulation. Praying for Dr. Allen and his organization. And we ask you, Lord, that you would help them as they go before the people of the state and present their sides of the issue, coming before the electorate, and help his work with that to be profitable to all who listen to it. Praying for Sister Flanagan and her son Alexander as his leg heals. We ask you that you would continue to give him mobility, that you would continue to bless him, a young man, that you'd give him full function back, that he might be able to continue to enjoy his young life. And also for Sister Deanna, that she's asked us to pray for, we ask you that you would bless her as well. And now, Lord, we're also praying for those who are on our list, Brother Nate Connor, Brother Cheryl Potts, Sister Diane Ezell, Mother Viola Frazier, Sister Lilla Simpson, Brother and Sister Price, Brother Archie Peterson, Sister Laverne Smith, and Brother Lewis Crawford. We ask you this morning that these names that we have called would be on your list of those whom you look over, that you look on favorably, and that you give them that which they need to give them the strength to serve you and to praise your name for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Now we're praying for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for the victims of the hurricanes and the relief workers in our country. And we ask you, Lord, that you would, as things appear to be restoring, that you would allow those who have lost to have their losses reclaimed to them, that you give them new domicile, that they might have a place to stay, and that they might be able to raise their families after being dislocated in such a way that would be a credit to your name. We pray for those who are in our country and out of our country that are serving in the armed forces. We ask you to keep them safe from the bombs and the bullets and the guns, so that they will be able to come back home to their family. And even as you said in your word, let 5 put 100 to flight and 100 put 10,000 to flight. And let not that the danger come near them as they are on the battlefield for us here in this country. Now we pray for the young men and the young women in this neighborhood. And we ask you that you would fix minds and regulate hearts, that you would bring them, those who might be in a world of trouble, that you would bring them safely out of that world into a world where we understand your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Help us, Lord, to be pillars in the community, that when we stand and when we speak, that someone will listen and recognize that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. Let them be affected by the words that we have to say. And we also pray, if there's any in our family and among our friends that does not know you, in the pardon of their sins, that you would bless them with that saving knowledge. For one day when I was lost, you died upon the cross, and I know now that it was your blood for me. And I ask you that you would help us to be instrumental in making sure that no more besides just us know the facts of the case. Now we pray for the young men that came to Sunday school this morning. Lord, we ask you that you would help them to get their lesson, both in school and for the class, so that when we come back from our trip, that they will have a good report of the work that they have done while we are gone. And we, Lord, we pray that you would bless all that are in the house, that you would keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and allow us to get back together at the appointed time. And we ask you, Lord, that you give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and travel over the land and over the air to a vacation and then come back. Let us be safe. Let us bring back glad tidings of your word, that we might be able to bless someone when we return. And I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life. Ask you to continue to bless her in all that she does. Thank you for her thinking of us this morning and remembering that which we forgot. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to bless her in all that goes on. Let us have a glorious time this week. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for the little place that you've given us here, for these toys that we have to play with to make your word plain, and help us to be plain, that someone might be able to understand that although the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. God gave Israel a long list of laws, rules, and regulations to follow. And they proved not to be able to follow them. And so God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who came down as a sacrifice for the sins that the Israelites committed. And not the Israelites only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He gave his body and he gave his blood as a sacrifice that our sins, our disobediences to God, might be forgiven. And he offers us his body and his blood as a sacrament that we might align ourselves with him, remember all that he has done for us, and live our lives according to God. Let us remember all that he did for us, the great opportunity that he gave us when he died on the cross. Let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest with you in the Bible this now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.